introduce Martin, but this is Martin Saunders, vicar of this place and also Bishop's Mission Leader of St John's. I've probably got the wrong title, but it's something like that.
It's good enough.
would you mind if I pray for you? So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of your word that speaks to us, that speaks of truth, that speaks of your character. And we pray that you will speak through Martin now to us and bring that word to life so that as we go into the week ahead, we take it with us to empower us and fill us and renew us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Friends, it's a delight to be here to worship with you today, and we are now everything's in the right place. That's good. So this passage that we have comes from the start of one of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and it seemed to me it might be helpful to put that in its geographic context. This is a map of the Roman Empire. So Spain's over here. Greece is here, Italy's there, and Israel's in there somewhere. But that's the Roman Empire as it was, back after the birth of Jesus. And if we zoom in a bit on Greece, we have Corinth sitting here in a little stretch of land that is quite important because lots of ships wanted to go all the way around here. In fact, actually, if they could just cut across there, that would be really helpful. Sorry, over there, you guys. I don't know if I'm... There you go, over there. There's Corinth. That's where, and that's his Greece. So this just this little slip of land here. And the letter was to Corinth and Achaia. There was a stone road that connected the two coasts. And basically they would haul goods and sometimes ships along the 5 miles or so of road. These days there's a canal instead, which means that it's so much easier. But it meant that actually, being a typical port city, it was a meeting point of many different nationalities and cultures, and many of whom might well not have had family around them. So the passage we have starts, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What we read, what we understand here, should bring us to a place of praise for God's provision. And what we see also is that Paul reminds us and his readers, his first readers and us, that God is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He's also the Father of compassion, and he's also the God of all comfort. So we've got multiple ways of thinking about God, even in that first verse. And just thinking about the God of all comfort, it's worth reminding ourselves that the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the advocate, the helper, or the comforter. So this is John 14, Jesus' words. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace that the world cannot give. Peace that I do not give to you as the world gives. But let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The advocate, that is the helper, the comforter. Advocate, as you might imagine, has a sort of legal overtones, and if you're in court, then it's a comforting, I think, to know that someone will speak for you and put your case on your behalf in all the kind of legalese speak that is necessary these days. So God sends his Holy Spirit to us to comfort us. But comforting isn't just comforting. Let's just work out a bit more about what we mean by comfort. God comforts us, we're told, in all our troubles. We might be in trouble, we might have trouble, but actually we're called to be people who are not anxious, who by prayer and petition, who bring our requests to God, that we are people who know the peace of God, peace which transcends all understanding. And I think it's not just what's the worst that can happen? Well, I die and I go to heaven. And that's really comforting of itself. But actually, whatever happens, I know that God is with me. That's even more comforting because it's not just about the future, it's about the present, isn't it? It's about saying that God, because of our acceptance of God's offer of salvation, God has chosen to put his Holy Spirit in us. He's chosen, therefore, that we can be people of peace. So, yes, the knowledge of our adoption into God's family calms us, if you like. And actually, we know that we cannot be separated from God's love. Here's another verse, Romans 8. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. But notice all those are external forces. We can still convince ourselves that we're separated from the love of God by our own brain, mind activities, but nothing can actually. Once we're adopted into God's family, God is with us. And that in itself can be very comforting. So for my mind, that brings us back to this passage to say, actually, God who comforts us in all our troubles, that bit there in the middle there, who comforts us in all our troubles, that's what we are hearing. That's what we get when we have God's Spirit in us, the comforter, that recognition that God is with us. That means that then, and that's all our troubles, then we can comfort those in any trouble. So we can come alongside somebody and we can say, it's okay. We're with you. We can bring comfort to others. So we need to sometimes sit with others, support them, ask them how they feel, spend time listening, really listening, and help people to see that there's more to life than the current trouble. Now, want to just take a few seconds to show you these secular slides that I think are helpful in that question of how do we actually bring comfort to others. It's a 6 suggestions here. That sense of coming alongside, I hear you, I know this must be hard for you. That sense of affirming that feelings make sense. Of course you're upset, you know, such and such has just happened. You've got a broken heart. So a sense of validating of feelings, a sense of wanting to draw out feelings rather than saying, why are your feelings so terrible? Actually, how does this make you feel? Is a helpful way forward. And not just standing there telling people to, you know, buck your ideas up. Pull yourself together, be all right. Is not that helpful, so let's not do that. And physical affection, as appropriate, is always a good idea, depending on your relationship with somebody. Notice the lover and the friend statements in there as to how that works. But I think, as Christians, we can go further than that in bringing comfort to other people. Because as Paul says, we have received comfort from God, and so we can bring comfort to others. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, says Paul in his letter, further on in this same letter to the church at Corinth. Let me read you the whole thing. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So grief and mourning over perhaps a loved one's death or severe illness might seem overwhelming at the time, but it can be possible for others to come alongside and gently help the one overwhelmed to gain perspective again. But then as Christians, we can help other Christians to fix our eyes on what is unseen, on that which is eternal. So this life is not all that we live for. We can come alongside others in their grief, and for where we share faith in particular, we can say yes. But remember that God is still with you. Yes, and remember that eventually we will, you know, our illnesses will be healed with our new body in heaven. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, on that which is eternal. And as we learn to stay focused on Jesus through our lives, actually that changes who we are as individuals. So, if you like, our achieving for us, there's a sense in which we are, our souls, our bodies, our minds are trained, and we mature in Christ. So we're comforted by God through His Holy Spirit in order to comfort others. Now, I'm told that the basic sense of comfort is about standing alongside someone to encourage them when they are undergoing severe testing. And that's something God does with us, doesn't He? No wonder the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. But we use comfort in modern language in various ways today, don't we? For example, with a baby, we talk about a comfort blanket or a toy. Now, I wonder how many of you still have a particular toy tucked away in the back end of a cupboard that used to be your childhood comfort thing. I still have a very worn donkey that my gran made for me. There you go. But, you know, children like these kind of things because it brings peace to them, even though they are... It's not what the baby really wants, which would be his or her mum, I guess. But the smells are familiar enough and that it will do for now. And so it brings peace. It brings comfort, having their comfort blanket. Yes? Does that make sense? Now, I just need to say it is a tough gig being a mum, I'm told. Bringing up a child does mean you know all about comfort. Comforting a child in the small hours of the night, trying to understand just why a baby is crying. Then there's the discomfort of separation, whether that's for you or the child, hence the comfort a bit. But then leaving them at school or nursery isn't always full of happiness for the parent either. To all those who are mums or have taken the role of mum, thank you. Thank you for drawing on inner strength to care for your charges. Let's go back. Let's look at verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Now, I think in this, there's an echo of that sense of pick up your cross and follow Jesus. That's thinking about that we too participate in the sufferings of Christ so that we might participate in His glory. In a different letter, Paul writes it slightly differently. Romans 8, as we picked up on Romans 8 before this morning. But anyway, God, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we might also share in His glory. So, I think it's more about that we need to be prepared to suffer for Jesus. Not because you've been stupid, but because you've chosen to put yourself out. Paul talks about doing whatever it takes to bring people to faith in Jesus. And I wonder if some of us have lost our way in that regard. So, for example, are you actually willing to make friends with the lost? To invite them over for dinner, to stay up half the night and be a street pastor, perhaps. Or even risk a rebuttal by offering to pray for somebody that you've recently met. Are you even taking time to pray that God would work in the hearts of those who don't yet know Him? I find myself asking, are you willing to put yourself out at all for Christ and for the sake of seeking to see God's kingdom come on earth? Will you expend yourself for the cause of the gospel? Will you perhaps deliberately make yourself a bit uncomfortable? Offer your spare rooms to house Ukrainian refugees? if indeed you have spare rooms. According to Paul, it's in suffering for Christ that we know the comfort of Christ and appreciate sharing in his glory. So this is not about persecution. This is not about, it's about putting ourselves out for others who don't yet know Jesus. It can be about choosing to volunteer here, whether it's to help lead Pathfinders or PJ Gang or Kids Club or Breakaway or getting involved in Boxes of Hope or buying up cards to encourage the makers or put flowers in church. Thank you to, it's Lent, we haven't got any. Thank you to Doreen and for a long time, Anne, for doing that. Or washing the tea towels. Thank you, for example, to Pauline for doing that over many years. But not because you will gain from doing so, but because others will gain. Ideally, because of our words and actions, they will gain eternal glory by discovering God's love for themselves. Friends, as I look around this morning, I find myself saddened at the number of empty seats. It makes me ask, what's gone wrong? I know we're all still wearing masks. I know it's Mother's Day. I know it's a change of clocks day, and that's drawn some people away, and some people are disorganized enough not to be here because of change of clocks. But I'm left looking and going, we need to rediscover our love for bringing others to Christ. Who can you be praying for, at the very least, on a regular basis? Who could you invite? We want to see God's kingdom grow in this area, in this parish, in this place. Christ left all the home comforts of heaven. He laid aside his majesty. He became human for us. As we say in the creed, for our sake he was crucified. He was separated from his Father. He died an agonizing death so that we might have life. And you, what is God calling you to do? How is God calling you to bring life to others? Would you be so bold as to foster? Will you adopt? Would you speak out for your faith? Would you pray for others to come to faith daily? Would you open your home? Would you open your wallet? Then we and others will say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of all of compassion, the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do others look at your life and are moved to praise? Finally, I want to say to you as an individual, it feels a bit off beam, but you're amazing. You're unique, you're loved by God. You have a set of contacts that no one else has exactly the same set of contacts as you. You have a story to tell. So be blessed as you are a blessing to others this day and every day. Amen.